The real question that I have for you today, a very important question, is this. Are you a bland Christian? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. What particular care are you having today? Is it an emotional one, a physical one, a financial one, a familiar one? What's sapping your energy right now? What's just eating up your enthusiasm for life? What's taking away your ability to be peaceful and calm? What stops you from sleeping? What's the care? What is it? I don't want to dismiss it. I'm just asking you to name it. It might be really, really serious. Now, what are you going to do with this care? You got a health problem, financial problem, job problem, family problem, whatever it might be. What are you going to do with this care? You going to cling to it? You going to nurse it? You going to let it become bigger and bigger in your imagination? Is it going to consume you? Are you going to cast your care upon the Lord? Well, Father Scott, why should I cast my care upon the Lord? Because St. Peter says, if cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God cares for you? I'm not saying God's going to wave a magic wand over your head and make everything better. Where does it say that in Scripture? Where does it say in Scripture, if you trust in the Lord, you'll never have a problem in your life? Why would Jesus say, unless you take up your cross every day and follow me, you can not be a disciple of mine? Okay? So obviously we're all going to have a cross in our life. And there's going to be time in our life when we're going to think that the cross is too heavy. God gave us too heavy a cross. Even Mother Teresa said once, I know God won't give me more than I can handle, but sometimes I think God has too much confidence in me. Okay, so from the human perspective, some of our crosses, some of our cares, some of the things that just sap us of our energy and our enthusiasm and our zest for life, they just seem overwhelming. But wait a minute. Are you calling God a liar? St. Paul says in Corinthians, God will never give us more than we can handle. Don't you believe God cares for you? Psalm 56 says, God stores up our tears in His bottle. And there's a wonderful Jewish saying, you won't find it in Scripture, but I like it. It says, when we cry, God can taste the salt on our cheeks. Now, how close do you have to be to somebody to taste the salt on their cheeks? Come on. Don't hold on to that. Don't cling to that. Now, last week I dealt with the beginning of the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. See, most people think that the Beatitudes are just those first maybe 10 verses of Matthew chapter 5. Actually, the Beatitudes are really chapter 5, 6, and 7. That's the whole Sermon on the Mount. The whole Sermon on the Mount begins with those initial 10 verses, but it continues. And what I want to deal with today is, verse 12, one you'll be very, very familiar with, okay? Here it is. You are the salt of the earth. Now, what happens if salt loses its flavor? It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Okay. Now, when Jesus would talk about salt, as when He talks about sheep and fish and wheat, and vines and grapes, He's going to be talking out of His culture, right? Because who's His primary audience when He's preaching? The people of His time. You got to understand the importance, the value of salt at the time of Jesus. The Roman emperors would pay their Roman soldiers in salt. That's how precious salt was. Salt, well, what does salt do? It preserves food. If you've sweat under a horrible hot sun, so much that you lose some salt. You take some salt to revitalize you. Salt was like gold back at the time of Jesus. So what is he saying? And please, ask yourself whether you believe this or not. He calls us salt. He's calling us precious. He's calling us valuable. He's saying to us that we can make a difference in people's life, just like salt made a difference. Now, the whole concept of salt being valuable has a lot, it just doesn't have that meaning anymore. You know, salt has become an enemy. I mean, nutritionists and other health experts have talked so negatively about salt and what it does to blood pressure, etc., etc. Well, let me simply say, of course, one has to be moderate in his or her use of salt. But I don't think we should make salt the bad guy. The bad guy is always when you go to an extreme. When you go to an extreme. So for a moment, could you put aside all the negative comments, and articles, and news that you hear about salt? Could we look at it for a moment in a very symbolic way? Let's look at salt, one, as a sign of a person being enthusiastic. Okay, enthusiasm, as I say pretty regularly, comes from the Greek enthusiasm, entheos, God in us. Okay, so an enthusiastic person, one who's enthusiastic about the teachings of Jesus Christ and following those teachings, well, you know what? It's great to be around those people. They energize us. Some people have said that they believe that my preaching is effective. I remember my younger brother saying this once. He said, you know what makes your preaching so effective? I said, what? He said, your enthusiasm. People really believe that you are sincere in what you say, that you're passionate about what you say, and you believe it. You believe what you say. That is true, folks. That's true. Yes, yes, it's hard always to practice what I preach, but I try. Enthusiasm. I think I'm known for my enthusiasm, even as I've grown old. Do you have enthusiasm in your life? Does God shine through your eyes? Is God heard in your speech? Does your body language reflect the presence of God? What salt could mean? You know what else salt could mean? The capacity to endure. Remember one of the original purposes of salt back at the time of Jesus? It was a preservative. You pack stuff in salt. Okay? They last for a long time. You can imagine the soldiers, the Roman soldiers on long marches trying to keep their food from rotten. The value of salt. Do you have a capacity to endure? Can you handle the disappointments in life, the strife in life, the hardships in life, setbacks, the defeats? Do you hang in there? You know, if you've been told you have cancer, do you say, I'm not going to let this beat me, or did you just go to pieces and you just want to roll over and face the wall? Some of the great people who survived the concentration camps, the Nazi concentration camps, talked about those people who went around encouraging the other prisoners, the other inmates. Do you have a capacity to endure? That symbolically what salt can mean. So today's question that I asked right at the beginning of the program, are you a bland Christian? Huh? Are you just mediocre? You know what the book of Revelation says? I will vomit the lukewarm. How graphic is that? I will vomit out of my mouth the lukewarm. You don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. Somebody once said, if a person has to ask you if you're a Christian, you're probably not one. No. Let me do something with words here, okay? It's going to be in the form of another question. Are you a Catholic American or are you an American Catholic? Now, maybe you would say, what's the difference? Well, the difference, and think about this, the difference is that usually the emphasis goes on the first word. Okay? So to say that I'm a Catholic American, what I'm emphasizing right there is that my Catholicism is more important to me than being an American. You know, I treasure being an American, but my Catholicism identifies me primarily before my American identity. Now, vice versa, if you say, well, I'm an American Catholic, you see, and the way I emphasize it with my voice, if you say, well, I'm an American Catholic, then it seems like the more important identity for you is being an American and secondarily a Catholic. Well, let me say to you, that's not good. If the primary identity is American, where's the emphasis in your life? You know, where's God in your life? Following God's teachings. You don't want to be a bland Christian. You want to be a bland Catholic. And our prayer partners are the representatives, House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives. They need to practice their faith even when they're attacked, ridiculed. They can't hide their faith. They can't enact laws that goes against the teachings of Jesus Christ. Today's food for thought. Everyone has beauty, but not everyone sees it, right? You see what you want to see. You can see beauty in people who have serious physical impairments, who are incapacitated. You can see the beauty in them if you look in the right way, if you see them through Jesus' eyes. Today's small tend to make you smile or laugh. A class had their 25th reunion, and the fellow who had been known as the class dun showed up at the reunion driving a Mercedes. His beautiful wife was decked out in fine jewels and clothes. Someone asked him, "Aren't you the guy who flunked math?" "Yes, I did," he answered. "Well, you've done pretty well," they commented. "Yes, I have." "How did you do it?" "Proud as a peacock," he said. "I got into the junk business, and I found out that you could buy junk for $1 and sell it for $3. And that 3% difference just kept adding up." Get it? Oh, you gotta laugh. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listened to the program. I really like hearing from you. Take a moment to do that, okay? Or you can email me. Just go to my website, fatherscott.com. You'll see what my email address is, joyfulcap@aol.com. You can send me your prayer intentions, which I faithfully will take to prayer. You can help me. Would you please help me? Help me with my hospital for the poor and sick way down in Oaxaca, Mexico, one of the poorest places in Mexico. Make a check to TASH. It stands for the Anacetar Hospital. TASH, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore Thee, God of glory, Lord.